Now let me share with you two passages of Scripture. The first comes from the opening chapter of the letter to the Ephesians. All things are done according to God's plan and decision, and God chose us to be His own people in union with Christ because of His own purpose, based on what He had decided from the very beginning. Let us, then, who were the first to hope in Christ, praise God's glory. And you also became God's people when you heard the true message, the good news that brought your salvation. You believed in Christ, and God put His stamp of ownership on you by giving you the Holy Spirit He had promised. The Spirit is the guarantee that we shall receive what God has promised His people. And this assures us that God will give complete freedom to those who are His. And so let us praise God's glory. That's from Ephesians chapter 1. And then from the Gospel of Mark chapter 1, after John the Baptist was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee announcing God's good news, saying, "Now is the time. Here comes God's kingdom. Change your hearts and lives and trust this good news." Well, as Jesus passed alongside the Sea of Galilee, He saw two brothers, Simon and Andrew, throwing fishing nets into the sea, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I'll show you how to fish for people." Right away, they left their nets and followed Him. After going a little farther, Jesus saw James and John, Zebedee's sons. They were in their boat repairing their fishing nets. At that very moment, He called to them, and they followed Him, leaving their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired workers. I know that professional football teams give themselves 24 hours, they say, to bask in victory before turning their attention to their next opponent. But I'm still thinking about last Sunday's inspiring performance by our Cleveland Browns. The Browns, at one point in the game, took over the ball after stopping the Bengals on fourth down. And then Browns wide receiver Donovan Peoples-Jones gathered in a 60-yard pass launched by quarterback Baker Mayfield. In full stride, Peoples-Jones gathered the ball in over his left shoulder and ran the final 10 yards to cross the goal line. Legs, eyes, arms, hands, feet, they were all perfectly attuned to bringing that play to fruition. Donovan Peoples-Jones saw it, he reached for it, he gathered it in, and he completely engulfed it so that it could never get away. Well, did you ever think that the Cleveland Browns could teach us a lesson in living the Christian life? Who would have thought that the play of the Browns would show us how to respond to the gospel? You see, we're supposed to receive the gospel, the good news of God's unconditional and unstoppable love. We're supposed to receive it the way Donovan Peoples-Jones received that football. He grasped the ball and pulled it close, wrapping himself around it so tightly that he and the ball were unshakable. And when we hear the gospel message, we need to grasp it, to take it in, to engulf it so completely that it cannot be taken from us and we cannot be separated from it. But that's not the way we tend to treat the good news of God's saving love. We don't engulf it completely, no. We tend to be part-time Christians to some degree. What does a part-time Christian look like? Well, let's start off with this. Yes, this global pandemic has changed our habits in many ways. Of course, illness or the risk of it has kept some people from public settings like gathering for worship. And there are some people who are homebound because of mobility issues or other things. But there are quite a few able-bodied persons who claim membership in a church, but you wouldn't know it from their lack of participation in the life of their church. Part-time Christians? Well, a part-time Christian always has time to eat, but rarely takes the time to return thanks before eating. Part-time Christians always find the money to remodel or to redecorate, to go out on the town or to go out of town, but can't seem to spare anything when their church makes an appeal for a building drive, a mission project, an education program. Part-time Christians cherish the Christmas sentiment of peace on earth, goodwill to all. But when an international crisis arises, they assume that a military response of force is the only alternative. Part-time Christians are the kinds who claim that they have respect for all God's people, but they don't see a problem with adults viewing pornography which exploits women and men and children. You know, it's interesting that some can only dabble at being a follower of Jesus, but they can immerse themselves completely in, Buckeye football, their fine arts group, their golf league, their wine club. But Jesus calls to us. He calls us to surrender our lives, our whole lives, to hand them over to the one to whom they really belong. We need to give our lives to the one whose property they were in the first place. Let's look at the example presented in Mark's gospel. When Jesus went to the Galilee region proclaiming that God's kingdom had come near, Simon and Andrew came into his view, and Jesus saw them casting a net into the sea. Mark adds, for they were fishermen. Seems obvious to us because we've heard the story dozens of times, but the significance of that phrase, for they were fishermen, it becomes apparent only after Jesus then says, follow me and I will make you fish for people. For Mark reports, immediately they left their nets and followed Jesus. Now, because Mark has told us that they are fishermen and not farmers or butchers out on a little fishing trip, we realize, oh my goodness, these men walked away from their occupation, from their livelihood, in order to serve Jesus. Right after that, Mark tells us that Jesus came across James and John, sons of a man named Zebedee. Like Simon and Andrew, James and John were commercial fishermen. We know that because Mark tells us that they were in their boat mending their nets. When Jesus called to them to come with him, Mark tells us that James and John, quote, left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed Jesus. My goodness, we think to ourselves. James and John gave up the comfort, the security of their family in order to follow Jesus. And let's not forget the very first person mentioned in today's gospel lesson, John the Baptist. Now, what did he walk away from? What did he give up? Just his freedom, his occupation. Now, of course, John the Baptist wasn't following Jesus. Quite the opposite was true. He was clearing the way for Jesus. But John's life was committed to serving God, announcing the fulfillment of God's promise of sending a Savior. And to do that, John the Baptist surrendered whatever else he would have done, eventually surrendered, sacrificed his life. Now, I believe that Mark's gospel is pleading with its readers to do more than dabble with the knowledge of the good news of Jesus. The gospel, it isn't a hobby to be taken out of the closet when we're feeling nostalgic. The gospel isn't an analgesic to be consumed only when we're feeling pain. The gospel is to be embraced with everything we bring to our lives. If we embrace the gospel completely, who we are and what we do in our work will illustrate the unconditional love of God, because Our behavior, our actions will contribute to the common good. They will build up human dignity and self-worth. If we embrace the gospel completely, the values we hold will reflect our awareness of God's love for us and love for all people. So then we'll stand up for justice and we'll speak out against behaviors and attitudes that try to build up some people at the expense of others. And if we embrace the gospel completely, the way we use the wealth and resources that come our way will illuminate the gospel of God's saving love for all people. That means we will show respect for God's creation by being good stewards of the earth's resources. It means we will gain pleasure from being joyfully generous with whatever possessions and treasures might come our way. And if we embrace the gospel completely, worship and praise and prayer won't be optional diversions for those occasions when we feel we can spare the time and we're in the right mood, because we will crave the time and the treasure of that intimate connection with God. You need to give your life in response to God's giving us the life of Jesus Christ. What you think, how you treat people, what you do, what you buy, what you say, where you go, if you realize that the gospel message of God's unconditional and unmerited love is for you, it's not enough then to be a partial Presbyterian, a conditional Christian. Surrender your life to the power of the gospel. For when the gospel is embraced, it changes lives. If a football player holds the football at arm's length like he's afraid it's going to bite him, he's probably not going to hold on to it long enough to get across the goal line. When you hold the saving love of Jesus Christ at arm's length, you cannot experience its life-giving warmth any more than you can feel the warmth of a fireplace by standing outside looking through a picture window. So don't stay on the outside looking in. In Jesus Christ, God is trying to persuade you, to convince you, to entice you, to invite you to accept the truth. And the truth is that God loves you without any preconditions, without you having to do anything to warrant or earn that love. That offer is just hanging out there waiting for you to say, "Yes, Lord." The answer to a life that feels filled by frustration and futility. The answer to a life that feels adrift and without purpose. The answer is to say, "I'm done acting like a part-time Christian." Receive and embrace God's saving love, love made visible in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Master and friend. Amen.